said, including children and old people. So 8 pounds of additives that have nothing to do with the food itself. The most common food additives are hydrogenated fats, trans fats, phosphoric acid, aspartame, MSG, sulfur dioxide, color, and artificial flavors. And hydrogenated fats are linked to cancer. They mess up your LDL, your blood fat, heart disease. Phosphoric acid is linked to asthma and allergic reactions. Aspartame is linked to mind and brain dysfunction to the point of seizures, actually. So is MSG, monosodium glutamate. Oh, it's actually now called the Chinese restaurant syndrome. I love that. That's pretty funny. Sulfur dioxide, allergic reactions, gastrointestinal problems, and then colors and artificial flavors, again, asthma and allergic reactions. None of which of these, of course, are allowed in organic. So I thought it's interesting. Why is this talk here today? We are comparing organic with non-organic food. So I looked up food. Material, usually of plant or animal origin, containing or consisting of essential body nutrients, such as carbs, fats, proteins, vitamins, or minerals, to maintain life and growth. And then the other one was something that nourishes, or sustains in a way suggestive of physical nourishment. So I looked up nourishment. To foster and promote the development of life and growth. 3,000 food additives added to our food that is depleted to begin with does not nourish. So what we are actually comparing here is organic food to non-organic non-food. So I want us to get out of here today with our heads up and be ready for this discussion. That's why when we see advertisement, if you still have a TV, I'm sorry, but if you still have a TV tomorrow night or so when you're back, look at the advertisements, really look at it. Never once do they mention nutrition-related advantages because it is not nutrition anymore, as we just saw. It's all based on size, taste, effects, and convenience. And if they tell you otherwise, remember that it took us 15 years to get rid of this. Yeah, and it's still in us. We mentioned that there are studies where we see organic has pesticides too. First of all, there are 4 different classes of non-organic, non-active ingredients in pesticides. The EPA classified pesticides in different levels of toxicity. And then there are active ingredients, which are completely defined under the National Organic Program. And if we like this rule or not, it is the first food-based rule that we have in the United States. So one department in the USDA actually is now finally saying exactly the opposite of what the rest of USDA has been telling us for 50 years. I think that's a huge success. And besides that, most of the pesticides that they found in these studies when they say organic contains pesticides too, these are persistent pesticides, such as DDT. And that means that we will still find them even in organic crops or in organic soil in 150 years. It only proves that we should have never started with this nightmare to begin with, and not that organic now in 2 years can heal the world. It is the thing that we need to do in order to get to a sane production system again, but it cannot eradicate everything that we did wrong in 50 years in a few years. So, thank you very much for having me.
Excellent, Helga. This is a good opening volley by both of these knowledgeable people, Chuck and Helga, and we're going to put the screen up here. And then I can moderate and you guys can talk, and actually, well, no, we don't have to use the mic, field mic. Okay. So I want to start by excellent. Good start, makes me think a bunch, and now where can we take this? And I guess my question to each of you is, we have demonstrable benefits that society should be listening to and hearing about, and areas that continue to need to be more researched. How do we get that message? And what message do we carry out to society about this to try and get the next level of interest in the organics? And how do we utilize that out of this good news that you have to move this thing forward?
I'll start. A couple suggestions. In preparing for this, I went onto the websites of several of the major companies that are selling organic foods, and most of them have a Q&A section. I thought that the discussion of questions such as is organic, does organic food have fewer pesticides, is organic food safer for me and my family, I thought the discussions were in general quite good, but I would urge companies that have this kind of Q&A material to take the data out of here, and in particular this new study published in Environmental Health Perspectives, and you know, put it into their consumer education related material, whether it's on websites or point of purchase or in other educational materials, because I mean this is the real deal. These are peer reviewed, very credible pieces of new science that speak very directly to an issue that's people are intensely interested in, and so I think that's really important. And I think the next possible chance when there could be a lot of national media attention to this is going to happen next week when the CDC releases this data. I know that a coalition of environmental groups in D.C. is planning a pretty big event where there's going to be some cancer victims and people that have had children with birth defects that are going to be at a press conference, and they're going to talk about what the levels of some of these toxicants in our blood and urine means in terms of real people whose health has been impacted. So watch that, and to the extent that people ask, well, you know, what does organic food have to contribute to this? I think the answer is a lot, both on less exposure to pesticides, and as Helgi demonstrated, this lack of mineral and vitamin content in a lot of our conventional food is pretty worrisome.
And in general, look at the author of the study. I mean, that's kind of not new news, but a study is always as credible as the company that funded it. So if Philip Morris puts out a study that smoking might not be so bad for you, don't buy it. Just don't buy it. Really look between the lines. And there are many, many, for example, GMO companies that now have biotech promoting centers that really sound like a grassroots organization. You cannot distinguish by seeing the name who actually the funder of these studies or of these nonprofits are. It's quite scary. They did their homework, and so we are against a $450 billion food industry that holds on to this old system. All we have actually really, I mean, it's kind of interesting, you put a good panel together. Chuck is kind of the scientist, I'm actually not. I'm scared of, you can prove anything at any given time. There are so many, I hear you breathe heavily, there's so many parts of a study that you can't put in your favor without really showing them. I've seen so many studies that seemed so tight, and when you, the moment you got into it, there were a whole bunch of unanswered questions. So yes, we need more studies, and I think Mark Lipson put together that the entire research on organic last year or 2 years ago was like 0.01% of all the research money that was out there, 0.01%. So yes, we need more studies, but on the other hand, I'm not sure if you've seen the Newsweek article, Alternative Medicine, December 2nd issue. They kind of, you know, try to show what is good in alternative medicine, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. They are testing alternative medicine with exactly the same parameters that got us into this mess. So now they have a machine that tests exactly what acupuncture does in your brain. They don't measure what a human touch does in your brain, or what an acupuncturist that actually talks to you for 15 minutes about your condition and about your disease and your pain and your, you know, social surrounding. we will never be able to measure that, and unless we can, there's a lot of things we just don't know that we need to take into account, because we now know that these things matter.
My second question, then I'll take the audience, is, okay, so now we're in this USDA relationship with a governmental body that has maintained there's no difference between these two different technologies in nutrition or in pesticide residues, and that, but yet now they're charged with the responsibility of both enforcing and promoting our industry. How do you see us grappling that dialogue?
That's a really good question, amigo, and I got a chance to talk to Rich Rominger a bit about it yesterday. It's too much to ask of the USDA to stand up in public and say that the conventional food supply isn't safe. I mean, that's not going to happen. But I think the organic community needs to educate the department on how it can truthfully and accurately educate consumers about this new science in a way that is politically acceptable to the department. And I think the key is that the department will have to acknowledge that there's three things they have to acknowledge. The whole basis of pesticide regulation in the United States up until now still is healthy adults. I mean, the Food Quality Protection Act passed in 1996, and there's been a lot of lab animals tortured and a lot of trees burned to do studies, but basically they haven't really done that much to change the use patterns of pesticides and the allowable levels. Now, we hope in the next few years that they will get around to doing that, but it remains to be seen. So, you know, the first thing they have to accept, and I think they largely have, is that we can say with some scientific certainty that the levels of pesticides that appear in food today probably are not exposing healthy adults to substantial risk. But science also says that the levels in the diet today may be exposing pregnant women, infants, and children to risks with lifelong consequences. They have to accept that there is a higher risk group out there that where science warrants now a greater margin of safety. So purchasing organic food is one way for a family to expand that margin of safety. That's not condemning conventional food as unsafe. It's merely giving consumers information about one set of actions they can take to broaden their own family's margin of safety. There's others. Don't use herbicides on your lawn. Don't spray chlorpyrifos inside your house for cockroaches. Be active at your school. Make sure your school's doing IPM. So there's a lot of other ways that people can reduce their and their family's personal exposure to pesticides. But I'd like to hope sometime in the next few years that even the Department of Agriculture will acknowledge that purchasing organic food is a reliable way to broaden this margin of safety and is a set of actions that families of childbearing age may want to consider taking.
And as an industry, we really need to watch it. Food safety, if we have a few food recalls in organic foods, and we just had them 3 weeks ago, organic cheese got recalled because of listeria. It's a pathogen, common food pathogen contamination. Those data or those informations or those recalls will drop into this $450 billion PR bucket, and they will slaughter that. They will throw organic around our heads like we've never seen before. We need to make sure that organic really means safer foods, not just in terms of pesticide levels, but also in the way we handle and take care of our food. In terms of governmental regulations, USDA, I think, has made a big mistake, and I love it. Besides giving us the 360-page law, they came up with a definition, and we can hold them accountable. The definition says, organic is a production system that responds to site-specific conditions by integrating cultural, biological, and mechanical practices that foster cycling of resources, promote ecological balance, and conserve biodiversity. If you look up health in the dictionary, it says freedom of disease or abnormality, soundness. What USDA actually did, if you interpret it the way I do, is they came up with a definition for health. Of course, they cannot state in public that organic is healthier for whatever reasons, but their own definition is a statement that, again, we can hold them accountable for if they ever allowed pesticides or whatever they will allow in the next few years when big industry will try to water it down. And I'm just as worried as you are that that's the fact. Well, that will be the case. But we can say, USDA, you came up with the definition, and this is what you are responsible for, to uphold your own definition. So that's pretty good for us, actually.
Good. Questions from the audience? Yes and yes.
Thank you. This is wonderful. I am wanting to do a presentation to parents in my local school district on exactly what you've been talking about. Is there anything, a fact sheet or anything of this information broken down for the average person who doesn't have time to read more than a very short brochure?
I have a reference list for you, and CCUF, you know, we put a lot of our resources into education. If you can put a few people together that it really makes worth my trip, I'm happy to come and give a nutrition talk.
I'm in Utah.
Oh.
You want to...
Ask Brian, he's next to you. That's my boss. If he lets me, I will. No, yeah, we can put something together for sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Talk to me after the talk.
I've got a great suggestion. It's not really a question, but it's a suggestion. It's strange to me that we're on the defensive. And what we really represent is traditional foods. These are foods that have been produced from time immemorial. Okay, it's not something like we're creating new. They're the ones that are creating something new. And they're perceived by the media and by the world out there as normal. And so I've got a suggestion, and you brought up a great point with your definition of food and nourishment. And that corresponds with that traditional description of food. And even though we've kind of beat this to death, you know, like with the tobacco lawsuit, a class action suit, but you have a class action suit against the food industry, the technological food industry, to prove that their food is safe. And the onus should be placed on them rather than on us to try to defend what we're doing. And we should get a class action lawsuit going, similar, even though they're doing it with McDonald's and it's kind of getting to become a joke. But if it could be presented in a way to say, look, you can't present that food, GMOs, the crap that they're feeding people today, unless you can prove that it is absolutely safe. Otherwise, you can't produce it. And I know it sounds like a joke, but those are the facts. And we have to really realize those are the facts. But the world thinks of that differently. But I'd like
you're
you to address
totally
that
right.
Point.
Yes, you're completely right. We got into the defensive. I don't know why this entire society is based on proof that I'm not deadly until you can prove it, although I kill meanwhile. It's ridiculous, but this is what we have. Why we as an industry got into the defensive, I don't know. We are in the defensive if we think we are in the defensive. We should just get out and face those people, face the PR people. They might be trained better, but we have the truth behind us, and it will take a few years until we have scientific research to back everything that we say up, but we know. We all here know. So let's just not be shy about it.